So this morning, you know, we see it more and more, and I just did just a quick search before you and I started speaking this morning. 2 days ago, the headline from Inside Higher Education: hackers demand $2 million from Monroe College.
Yeah, ransomware attack. Ugly. Ransomware is ugly, ugly stuff.
WannaCry is still one of the worst ones out there. So, if you own a dentist's office, you got a tire store, it doesn't matter.
Your computer's on the internet, period, and you're at risk.
We've got your information, we've got your billing records, we've got your customers' contact list, you want it back, give us money.
Right. And you know the really sad part? We don't prosecute them. I helped, this was about 8 years ago when this first really started. I was helping a guy locally, and we went as high as the state's attorney for the state of Illinois. Nobody was interested in trying to prosecute. It can't be hard. Follow the money.
Right.
It shouldn't be hard, but they won't prosecute it. The only protection you've got against ransomware, the only real protection you've got is consistent backups. Back up your data. And then if you get ransomware, say, forget it, wipe the hard drive, put your data back on, and be done. It's all a right. pain in the butt, but it's safe.
There's different kinds of backups. First off, external hard drives have dropped dramatically in price.
Oh, and they're great for backups.
And then the way you disconnect it, you've got, you know, a terabyte. You can get a terabyte for, what, $50, $55,
yes.
something like that?
Yes.
Right? But there's another option out there, and I'm curious about your thoughts. Cloud-based backups.
Well, I use cloud-based backups myself all the time. For example, Microsoft Office has moved to their subscription model with Office 360. My data, my spreadsheets, my PowerPoint presentations, my Word documents are all stored on OneDrive from Microsoft. So my computer can die tomorrow. I can step to any computer on the planet and get my data.
All right. But aren't you worried that they could be hacked? Or are you confident in their system enough, because that's what they do, that your data is safe in their hands?
Well, I never rely on one system. Okay. I've got external drives that I back up that data to as well. But the combination of the two makes you reasonably safe. The problem with an external drive is if your house burns down, your data's gone. But the cloud keeps that data safe then. But if the cloud gets invaded, your backup to the external drive is still good.
Right.
So you've always got an option. One solution is never a good idea for data. The other thing is, be realistic with your backups. I know people with like music libraries of 100 terabytes and movies and TV shows. And no, you're not going to back all that up. Okay, forget all that. Back up, like my daughter just got married recently, wedding pictures. I backed all that up. I back up important work documents. Those are things that are important. You'd be surprised how small of a backup space you really need if you just back up vital data.
And that way it's easier every day to do that once you've started the habit.
Right.
So when it comes to this, I mean, I've become increasingly suspicious because, well, the people who try to want to get in my system have become increasingly creative, we'll call it. You know, maybe I've got a relationship with a broadcast company. We'll call it Ed's Broadcast
okay.
Company, and you supply information. And somehow they've gotten into my system. They know Ed from Computer Ed from at something, right? And I'll
right.
see that address, and I've noticed they steal the name, and then the email address is wrong. They're trying to get you to communicate back with them under the stolen address so they can get into your system.
Again, this has been around a long time. Basically, what they've done is a small app is in there, and all it does is read your address book. That's all it does. But it gets names, and those names then allow them to send phishing expeditions to you that look like they're from legitimate friends. And that's all it takes. And many times, it's not even that they hacked your system. Maybe they hacked somebody else's system that's got your email address in it. Remember, they've got that data from when they hacked the address book. So you don't always know where it's coming from. There are a couple of really neat fixes that I have found. The first is never have just one email address. I've got an email address that is, well, I don't anymore, and I'll explain why in a second. I had an email address that was a spam address. That's what I'd use to register for websites. Then I have a private email address. I actually had three because I also had a work email address. And the private email address, I never gave to anybody. I mean, my close family, friends, and that was it. So that helps because it limits that access. The other thing to do
is... Can't be on as many lists out there in the world.
Exactly. Read the emails. Look at that address of who sent it. You got to look at that. I do it sometimes. I've fallen for a phishing attack where I've looked at it and I thought, hey, this is from a company that I've done business with in the past. This looks like a really good deal. And I've clicked on the button and gone, oh, crap. But it happens to everybody. So don't feel bad when it happens to you. It's going to happen. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself.
All right, let's talk about two of these. One in particular is something I'm hearing more and more about, and that is virtual private networks, VPNs, right?
We've been fed so much bull.
I'm curious about
crap.
Your thoughts on this, okay?
I got to control
because
myself.
Because the idea being that if you're out in public and using a Wi-Fi system, you got to watch out. But with a virtual private network, you're protected from a public network that might be contaminated.
Well, yes and no. Okay, so here's how a virtual private network works. You connect to your internet through your ISP. And then once you connect to your internet, your browser will send all traffic to one address on the internet. That's the VPN. And then the VPN will do the rest of the work. So as far as anyone looking at your internet traffic, all they see you doing is going to this one website, and that's it. That's all they see. Now, that's kind of cool, but it comes with some problems.
Such as?
Some websites won't accept VPN access for security on their end. They want to make sure you are who you say you are.
Right.
And you'll be surprised how many do that. Banks, a lot of banks do that.
My first thing you said was, what happens when I try to pay my credit card online through a VPN?
So VPNs have their place, they have their uses, but they're being advertised as a protect-all. They're not a protect-all. Okay, they're not I'm going to have to use a slightly crude analogy to make this point. They're not a condom for the internet.
Right.
Okay.
Because I was getting ready to ask you, is there one?
No. It doesn't exist.
I mean, when I looked up one of the things, it was they call it. It said, really, what this is about is self-discipline and cyber hygiene. That this is really an ongoing thing. You have to literally consider it in everything you do all the time.
Now, one of the ways I suggest people protect themselves, and I was talking to you about this the other day, is a program called Blur by a company called Abind.
All right, now, Ed's explained this to me. This is, by the way, a really cool idea if you're online a lot. You might want to check this out. This is an app, right?
So, well, it actually attaches to a browser. So it's what's called a browser
module.
Extension.
All right, extension, okay.
And so what happens is this. With the base system, you go to register to a website, and it asks you for an email address, right? Well, Blur kicks in and goes, do you want me to give them an email address? And it will create, at that moment, an artificial email address. Now, all emails sent to that email address will forward to your email account. But the company you registered with never knows your email account. They only know this one. So you go down the road. I was looking at mine today, and I'd realized that at one point somewhere along the line, I had clicked a link on an Elizabeth Warren site.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in the past 2 weeks, I've gotten 180 emails from them. And so all I have to do is go into Blur and tell it to delete that temporary email account. I'll never get email from them again.
Right.
So it's
how long you broke your finger punching that button, didn't you?
I did. But the program does more. It gives you, now you pay $100 a year for this, but it gives you more protection.
That was next question. $100 a year.
It's the base what I just described, by the way, is free. But $100 a year gets you a virtual phone number. So now when you sign up for a site, it creates a false phone number that forwards to your number. Which means if you don't want to get the telemarketers, bang, it's done. I actually saw somebody say give that out to people. They don't give their home number. They give that number because they don't want to hear from anymore. They can just kill it.
All right. So you said there's a baseline here that's free?
Yeah, the baseline does the email.
Wouldn't you think this would be the kind of thing a business would want and have their front line staff trained on?
I would imagine they should. It's a really good program. Abind, this is their entire business model, is this level of protection. By the way, they go even farther. You want to protect your credit card from online purchases? So you go to Amazon and you want to make a purchase and you've paid for Blur. Blur comes up and it says, okay, we're going to make a credit card for you. Tell me how much your purchase is exactly. I don't want the website to. You tell me. They make an instant credit card that's good for only that amount of money and make the purchase, and then they charge it to your credit card. But if Amazon got hacked, they never got your credit card number.
Or any of a long list of other people that have been hacked recently.
It's a great way to protect yourself. It's a inexpensive app, and it's a company that we actually talked about here over 10 years ago when they first came out. They did a program called Do Not Track Me that we talked about here, and we're all excited about.
All right, the ones, the items that you talked about today, what was it, Blur?
Yes.
All right, B-L-U-R?
B-L-U-R.
Right.
And it's by a company called Abine, A-B-I-N-E.
All right, so you can go out and look at this one and this another issue. There was another app that we talked about earlier, was there?
Well, the VPN.
The VPN.
VPN, there's a lot of them. I like Nord. I use NordVPN myself. I like it. 3 years, $100. Five devices, you can't go wrong with that. That's a good deal.
What's your number one pick for security on phone and PC, or is there two different categories? Because more and more, as our phones get smarter, they're more susceptible to these kind of attacks and contact lists. Because there are so many options out there, and AVG and on the list goes, what's your suggestion?
Well, for general security, Malwarebytes, I really like their software. They've even got a free version for the PC and for the phone.
Right.
That's a good program. Android, I'm not too familiar with Apple products. Sorry, I just have never liked Apple. Android actually provides decent security on its own, but you add Malwarebytes to it and you're going to be in pretty good shape. By the way, Blur I mentioned works on your phone.